Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. And I have finally gotten Attorney General Alan Wilson on the air with us. How you doing today, Alan? Life is good, I hope.
And life is fantastic. I hope it is for you. And by the way, I read recently that your show was recently named Radio Show of the Year by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. I wanted to congratulate you for that accomplishment. What a wonderful recognition of you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, let's talk about some of the issues before you. You certainly have a lot going on. In fact, I understand tomorrow you are going to be on Capitol Hill
yes.
with testifying with the House Oversight and Government about this Navigators.
Yeah, this Navigators program, it's another kind of triage on Obamacare to try to save it from being inefficient, which they're failing at. But basically, it's a program where they sign people up, or people are actually brought in to sign up citizens into the Medicaid or the health care exchanges that the states are running. And the problem with it is these navigators that are getting federal grant money from the federal government in the tune of $67 million are not getting background checks, are not being adequately trained or adequately vetted, but they're going to be having access to personal information like your home address, your Social Security numbers, and potentially your health care information, your private health information. And so there's a concern by myself and other AGs around the country that this is going to open people up to widespread fraud and basically be a con man's buffet for citizens around the state of South Carolina.
Well, Alan, why would the federal government, with as much problem as we're having with fraud and this type of thing, even just not do background checks?
You know, who knows why the federal government does anything the way they do? But their goal is to get as many people signed up and in this plan so they can get as many people on the hook. So they can get this plan will only become self-sustaining when, and by the way, it's never going to be self-sustaining, but it can only be politically self-sustaining when they get so many people hooked on it that they won't want to get off, and then the government's on the hook.
Isn't that why, Alan, that they would like to push it out another year so that we, because once people start getting these subsidies and everything, then it'll be a done deal with Obamacare?
Well, absolutely. This is just another step in the direction of universal health care and socialized medicine. And you know, the benefit to Obamacare is everyone's eventually going to be insured and everyone's going to have health insurance. The problem is, once everyone has health insurance, we won't have the ability to get to health care. There's not going to be any health. There's not going to be any doctors. There's not going to be the ability to compensate doctors to provide the health care. You'll have the insurance. You just won't have access to the health care, and that's the whole problem with Obamacare to begin with.
What do you mean by that, Alan? We're not going to have doctors becoming doctors?
I spoke to a doctor the other day who said that he's a urologist. He says there are four practicing urologists in the state of Vermont, and because Vermont has jacked up the cost of being a doctor and the taxes, and because they have gone to one-payer system in Vermont, that doctors are fleeing Vermont. So he has to go up there once a month to provide services for people as a urologist. And his comment to me was, everyone in Vermont has health insurance, they just don't have health care because there's no one there to administer it. It's untenable. So you can have health insurance, but what's the point of having insurance to cover health care costs if you don't have health care in your home state because there are no doctors, there are no adequate services, and the waiting lines are 2, 3, 4 months long. So that's the fatal flaw of Obamacare, in my opinion.
So this is you are going to Washington. This is a suit or what have you got going on?
This is a congressional oversight committee that is asking to hear from states on why Obamacare, the implementation of Obamacare, should be stayed and not be implemented immediately until they fix, this security issue that we have with the Navigator program. We're trying to stop this until we can actually get a grasp of, you know, these navigators they're not vetted, they don't get security clearances. They're only required by federal law to have 20 hours of online training, and these are people that are going to be handling your private information. They're going to be having access to your personal health information, and they're going to, you know, think about a con man who wants to set up a card table in front of the Walmart and pose as a navigator. Think about a navigator who would be susceptible to making a mistake and compromising your security. Just this time last year, 3 million South Carolinians had their information, their private information, credit history, financial information compromised because of one mistake made by one government employee who had received training. And so you look at how compromised we're all going to be as citizens with just one government employee in the Department of Revenue. Imagine what it's going to be like when you have hundreds or thousands of navigators who aren't government employees. They work for nonprofits, and they have minimal training, and they have no security clearance conducted on them before they can handle your personal health information and financial information.
I just find it hard to believe that that would be that big gaping hole that you're talking about here.
Well, and again, that's why I'm going up there,
yeah.
Because it just doesn't make sense to us either.
Wow. Well, that's one topic there that is coming down the pike. Now, this is supposed to start October 1st, isn't it?
That is correct.
What do you think is going to happen, Alan?
Well, I want to be on record representing South Carolina's interest in saying that there is a serious issue as to security and the integrity of protecting people's private information. Do I think they'll listen? No. But I'm going to be up there screaming my brains out to try to make sure that the members of and there are many members of our delegation that represent us,
mm-hmm.
Like Jeff Duncan and Trey Gowdy and Joe Wilson and others, Mick Mulvaney, that they're up there. But there are other members that I'm trying to reach that can hopefully sway their colleagues and basically just educate members. And this isn't about whether Obamacare is good or bad. I think Obamacare is bad. The court upheld it. If it's going to go into effect, we need to have it go into effect in a way that is going to protect people's personal information. I would like to see it defunded. I would like to see it go away altogether. But as long as it's here, my job is to protect the citizens of this state, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of insurance, over there in Abbeville, we had a case that I believe you came down on that you had an option of going into their insurance system over there or receiving cash payments. Now, I do note that they have just quit doing this, but your opinion was that system was illegal.
Well, this opinion that you're talking about was written, I believe, in reference to something that was going on in Fairfield County, but it has been applied to the facts in Abbeville County. The individual who wrote the opinion did a great deal of legal research on this. And first, let me say this. People get upset with legal opinions by this office all the time, but what they've got to understand is our legal opinions are not what we think the law should be. They're not our personal opinions as to a particular policy. I have no particular interest in getting involved in local politics. Frankly, I don't belong there. Those council members are elected by their constituents and should answer. The issue with the opinion is that there are certain state laws in effect, and if someone runs afoul of state law and then they ask us our opinion, we've got to give our opinion as to this is what the state law says. You could be violating it, and if you are, you could be personally liable for reimbursing monies received from the taxpayers. Our opinion basically says this. It is illegal to receive extra compensation for any compensation above what is authorized by law. And what there are certain folks, as I've been told, I'm not personally aware of this, but there are certain members of county councils and other municipal areas in the state who are authorized by law to receive health care coverage, insurance coverage from the state insurance plan. They are authorized to do that. Some of them are opting to get out of that plan and go with another carrier. When they do that, the county is then paying them or reimbursing them for the cost of going with that third-party carrier. The problem is the law does not allow that to happen. That is considered extra compensation, which you're prohibited from giving them. So all our opinion says is if you opt out of the state health plan or the plan that is authorized by law and go with a different plan not authorized by law, you cannot receive taxpayer appropriated monies for that, because that would be seen as extra compensation. And if you do, and someone were to raise that issue with you and sue you for it, you could be personally liable for reimbursing the county. And so for the, if there's anyone up there that's upset by this, you can disregard our opinion and basically say, you know, Alan, we don't agree with you. We're going to keep doing it. That's fine. But my job as your lawyer, as the people's lawyer, is to say that you may be personally liable for reimbursing those extra costs you're receiving. And my job is to let people know that there's a cliff ahead of them. And if they want to go over the cliff on their own, then they're feel free to do so. But I didn't write the law. My job is just to inform people of what we believe the law says.
So as far as the Attorney General's office, you've just given an opinion. You don't plan to go any further on that?
Well, no. I mean, it's not, you know, I can't go around the state and enforce every law. There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of laws. But we were asked to give an opinion as to that. We gave our opinion. Our opinions are not legally binding. But if people want to, you know, first off, if they want that extra compensation, members of their House and Senate delegations can go to the General Assembly and they can pass a law authorizing that. By the way, this is a taxpayer issue. If you're a taxpayer and you want your local council members to receive extra compensation, tell your House members and senators to pass a law that authorizes it, and then it's legal. But until it's authorized, it is going to be viewed by the court, we believe, it is going to be viewed by the court as illegal. Now, a court can disagree with our opinion, and that's fine. But if you go out there and operate, you know, the way you're operating, in the, you know, basically disagreeing with our opinion, you're going out on your own with no legal protection, and you're welcome to do that, but you could be on the hook for the money.
So this is not a straight black and white issue.
Well, it's never a straight black and white issue. If it was, you wouldn't need lawyers or legal opinions. and again, I have absolutely no problem with those council members or any local officials or employees receiving compensation or reimbursement for those health insurance premiums. It's got to be authorized by law. And if they want to get authorized by law, go through the legislative process. If they think our opinion's wrong, then keep paying it. Keep receiving the extra compensation. But if you get sued by some citizen one day and the court rules against you, you're going to be on the hook of repaying all of that. You could be on the hook for repaying all of the money you've received if you lose. So buyer beware. You know, and that's my job as a lawyer, to help people make or to manage risk and help people make wise decisions.
Absolutely. Well, that was a great clarification on that. I want to ask you, I know that I find it hard to believe, but human trafficking is a growing problem, and I understand you are on this issue. What can you tell us about that, Alan?
Well, human trafficking is the second worst crime in the world behind drug trafficking and arms trafficking. It is the fastest growing crime in the world, and the United States is one of the number one destinations for human trafficking. South Carolina is not immune from this horrible plague, and whether it's labor trafficking or sex trafficking, it exists in this state. Most people believe that that this doesn't happen in South Carolina. It happens in Asia, or it happens in Eastern Europe, it happens in Africa or South America, or if it happens in America, it happens in New York City or Chicago or L.A. The problem is that's not true. We have direct evidence that it happens in other places, and it does happen in South Carolina. You do not have to be kidnapped to be trafficked. Lots of people live in their communities and are trafficked under the noses of their friends and associates and coworkers and fellow students. And so we have put together a task force to combat this crime and to try to educate law enforcement as well as victims' advocates and regulators as to how they can combat it, detect it, prevent it, and potentially prosecute it if it's necessary. So it's something that we're very hot on, and we believe that it's something that the citizens of the state should be aware of, because it is happening. Whether you choose to believe it or not, it is happening.
Now, but how much of a problem is it in South Carolina? Do you have any idea?
It is a problem in South Carolina. We have organized criminal entities within this state that are doing it right now. We have seen the evidence of it, but the problem is, until last year, when the General Assembly gave us a good human trafficking law, we had no way to track the trends or the statistics. In other words, a law enforcement agency arrests someone for prostituting, and they get convicted for prostitution, but the questions are never asked. that you know, why are you prostituting yourself? And, you know, and an investigation is never done, and you find out that that prostitute wasn't just prostituting because they have a drug addiction or they wanted to make money. They were prostituting because someone was threatening their life, and they had no choice, and they were being sold. And so, therefore, that is a statistic of human trafficking that doesn't get reported. That person gets reported as a defendant and a criminal, not as a victim of human trafficking. So now we're being smarter about how we track these trends. And Ann, you got to remember one thing. A drug trafficker traffics drugs. It's very profitable because there's a lot of money in it. But human trafficking is even more profitable because a drug trafficker will give someone a drug and they get money in return. That trafficker has to go get new drugs. A human trafficker has a human being that they give someone for money, but they get the human being back and they get to recycle, for lack of a better word, that human being over and over and over again. So it's a much easier criminal trade to engage in than drug trafficking.
But do you have any idea how many people here, just here in South Carolina, would be in this, or is this just a new venue that you're going down?
Well, and remember what I said, it's so new. We have brand new laws that have enabled us to have a task force to go tracking these trends. But before, we weren't tracking them because we were ignoring the problem.
Sure.
We're no longer ignoring the problem, and we've only had this law on the books for over a year. So we are developing processes and procedures and tactics and policies to enable us to understand, detect, educate, prevent, investigate, and prosecute this type of crime. And 2, 3, 4 years from now, we will have evolved even farther. But I can tell you this, that we have active investigations going on right now with human trafficking rings in the state of South Carolina. I can tell you that.
Wow. So how can this be stopped, Alan? I mean, just law enforcement, or are there things that regular everyday people can do?
One of my favorite quotes from one of our founding father, one of our founding members of our republic, is Benjamin from Benjamin Franklin, and Ben Franklin said, "An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure." And how do you have prevention? Is you have education, you have awareness, you have knowledge. Educating people that this just isn't a crime that happens in Hollywood movies, that this could happen to your child, this could happen to you. You don't have to be kidnapped in a foreign land. This could happen in a rural community. It could happen under your nose. Understand, teaching people to understand the symptoms or the evidence of this crime. People who are regulators, not law enforcement, they walk into a tanning salon and they see a 12-year-old walking around in the back in a pair of skimpy underwear and nothing else, they don't know how, because they're not trained law enforcement, they're not obviously not going to engage that 12-year-old. They might go get a law enforcement officer and come back a few hours later, but when they come back, the 12-year-old is gone. So training those people who go in and regulate businesses, do the DHEC stickers or the labor licensing and regulation audits, training them, training teachers, school administrators on how to recognize the symptoms of this crime is something that we have to do so that we can prevent it and making people aware of it. So right now we're in the education phase of combating human trafficking. Unfortunately, there are people already in the human trafficking pipeline, and we have to go save them and prosecute those thugs who are doing it. But for those who haven't been victimized yet, we just got to train you, and we got to educate you to avoid it.
You know, that is something that is hard to believe is going on here in South Carolina, but even across the United States when we look at what we believe in here.
Well, and one last thing. A couple of weeks ago, there was a federal sting nationwide, and I believe 150 people were arrested for human trafficking. Two of them were just in the Midlands of South Carolina alone. And this was a month ago.
Right.
So it is happening, and we're not the only ones looking at it. The feds and other agencies are looking at it, too, but we are all working together. And that's the first time that that's ever happened on this particular issue, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, Attorney General Alan Wilson, thanks for joining us this morning. Good luck in Washington tomorrow, and we'll be looking forward to you coming to the Lakelands and sitting down right here at WCRS.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.